It's time to fly. That's the title of this message, It's Time to Fly. I almost titled it Mother's Day Part 2. So all you mothers, you could help me out preaching this. Or not. But ultimately, it's tied into It's Time to Fly. And we're trying to tie in a memorial type theme, and maybe that's the eagle because our country's represented by that. Some graduation stuff, maybe because there's some kids just now coming to age and it's time for them to leave home. We're just coming out of the couple weeks from Mother's Day, so we can always reflect on that. I'd like to meet with all the men right after church for about 5 minutes. I promise mine will be 5 minutes. You can stay as long as you want to after that. We're going to do a series of messages in the next month. Every Sunday morning is going to be a men-type message. It's going to have a men theme to it. It's going to be blood and guts and a whole lot of danger. And we're going to invite other men to be here. That's the whole thing. I'm going to ask you guys to do that, but I want y'all to pray about it too. God's given me about 4 good messages, maybe 5, so I might preach one tonight about for men. Y'all ready to get in the Word? I think I gave y'all time to get to John chapter 2 by now. If not, you can come to the altar and repent and ask God to help you. Amen. Y'all can laugh in church. It'll be okay. You'll need to laugh. John chapter 2. In the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. If you don't know, this is where Jesus began all of His earthly miracles. This is where Jesus began His earthly ministry. He began it at a wedding. Because weddings are important to God. Weddings are important to God because guess what? Weddings started in the Garden of Eden. God said, I am the bridegroom, you are the bride. And I'm going to give you a relationship on earth that you can compare to the one that's going to go in heaven. I'm going to let a man be a wife, be a husband to a wife. A wife will come out of her husband. They'll be a partnership. They'll be a friendship. They'll be something that's so important, but it'll always resemble what's going on in glory. You have a heavenly Father who won't ever let you fail. You got a heavenly Father who will be a covering over you when you can't be a covering for yourself. You got a heavenly Father who will overshadow you, protect you, provide for you no matter what you do. That's your heavenly Father. That's the bridegroom. That's Jesus. And He does that for you. And He did it in Genesis. Now He's doing it in John. And guess what? He'll do it in Revelation at the wedding feast. God's cool like that. He made it very clear that marriage represents God marrying a church who is the bride, and we are going to be together for eternity. Amen. Guess what? The church, the bride, comes alongside and be a helpmate to the bridegroom. Guess what? We are here to be a help to what Jesus did at Calvary. We couldn't do it, but we come alongside Jesus and say, we'll help spread the gospel with the rest of our lives. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's what you're supposed to do. Wife, you're supposed to come and love your husband and support him and be a helpmate or a partner or a friendship. If you both come into that together, it'll be a beautiful thing. But if you come into that for any other reason, it will be awful. Sorry. That's my marriage counseling stuff. But God's into marriage. He makes it very clear. And He knows what it is. He defines it, He keeps it, and He knows what it is. But ultimately, it's a picture. So we shouldn't mess with it and mess it up. Amen, preacher. It's good preaching. Verse 2, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. Verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, they have no wine. This is really neat. Jesus is at the wedding, and see, in Jewish custom, it would be so embarrassing for the wife's parents, for the wife's family to run out of what the food and the wine. It would be so embarrassing. Ain't it glad? Aren't you glad that they invited the wine and the bread? You'll get that sometime if you read the book of John. Because He is the wine. He is the bread. Amen? They just so happened to invite him to the marriage. If you can't have a good marriage unless you have Jesus at it and in it. Amen? I worry about anybody who tries to get married without Jesus being the thing that holds it together. Amen? But you got the wine and you got the bread just standing around at a wedding. And all of a sudden, somebody comes to Mary and said, "We've ran out of the wine, or we're running out." And Jesus won't let you run out of anything, bride. God, we can leave. That'd been good right now. Jesus won't let you run out of anything, bride. You might think you're going to run out of bread. You might think you're going to run out of wine. But if you're a child of God, you don't have to beg. He knows where you're at. He knows what you need. He's there. Amen? Boy, ain't you glad that you ain't going to run out of nothing. My goodness, I'm glad. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't never ran out. I'm totally satisfied with my Jesus. I'm totally satisfied with what happened to me when I got saved. I've not looked for anything else since I've been saved. I'm not hunting for satisfaction. I'm not hunting to find myself better. I'm not looking for something to satisfy my soul. My soul is totally satisfied in who Christ Jesus is. I'm never going to run out. There's never going to be a day where I'm going to say, "Man, I wish I hadn't gave my whole life and my soul to Christ." You know why? Because he won't ever let the bride run out. I got this. They go to Mary, and Mary goes to Jesus. Amen. Just go to Jesus. If you don't know any other plan, just go to Jesus. Now this message is going to get pretty fun right here, I think. In verse 3 it says, "When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine." In verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." If you really break down that, it goes, why is your concern my concern? Amen? Why is your concern my concern? And I started thinking, I'm a mama's boy. And there's a couple things that I probably would have never said to my mom. But I want you to understand, you might want to write this down, Jesus is in a transition right here. Jesus is going from son to Savior. It's all right for your kids to transition from your nest to the world. Amen? They're supposed to. And I believe Mary knew it's transition times. Mamas just know when it's time. Amen? It ain't fun. Amen, preacher. It ain't fun, but it's time. See, moms have a nature to protect their children. Amen? To nurture and protect. But there's something happens. I wish some of these older mothers in here would say amen every once in a while. There's something happens when your kids get about 17, 18, 19, especially young men. There's some other nature in you cranks up, and it's kind of like, it's time for you to fly, Jack. I mean, making sandwiches and, you know, folding your clothes and doing the laundry was good, but hey, something in here, it's telling me it's time to go. I want to keep you. I want to hold you. But I want to kick you out too. God, I wish I had one or two older moms in here just shout every once in a while. Amen. I want you to be my baby boy, but it don't look right me carrying you around at 30. Amen. Mary's fighting against herself. Why is my concern your concern? I can almost feel Mary saying, "I'm still here. I'm here. Remember when you first met me? You wrecked my life. I was just a teenage girl growing up in Nazareth, and it's a small town, and you came and wrecked my life, Jesus. Remember when your father came down and he sent an angel and he told me I was going to be with a child before I even knew a man? That wrecked me. I'm still here." That wrecked my relationship with Joseph. Come on, y'all. Has your relationship ever been wrecked by Jesus? If you let him in, he'll wreck some stuff in a good way. Amen? Me and Joseph had a rocky period. He thought about leaving me. I can't preach to y'all. He thought about getting out. I know there's some people in here, you look awful cool on Sunday, but there's been times when you thought you was going to get out. Amen? You thought you was going to get out of the marriage. You thought you was going to get out of the relationship, but you hung in. Hey, it was easy. But praise God. I love Jesus. I love being saved. Hey, that's the easy part. Hey, sometimes you just got to hang on. Mary said, I'm still here. Me and Joseph, we hung on. He went through some allegations. He was a good, strong man, worked in a small town, was a carpenter, built things with his hands, and had to listen to the murmurs and the complainers in a small town talking about, I wonder who Jesus belonged to. I'm still here, Jesus. That's why my concern should be your concern. Because I'm still here. I'm committed. I was committed when I rode 300 miles on the back of a donkey, 9 months pregnant. I was committed to you. I've got as much in this as I want out of it. Amen. Golly. I got as much into this as I want out of it. How much do you have involved in the church? How much do you have involved in Christ? Do you want it all and want to give none? Or do you want to give some and get some? Some of y'all come to church and say, bless me if you can. Come on, Lord, do it again if you can. I wonder if you're going to preach the same message. Oh, it's the same song. Wonder if you came with an attitude and said, God, what would you want me to do? Hey, can I do some stuff for you, Lord? Is there anything that I can do for you? Because, see, I rode up to Bethlehem and I got up there and they didn't have a hospital room ready for me. They didn't have a bunch of nurses around. They didn't have a clean room for me. I went out into out where the animals were. I was out there and we had birth out there. It was a beautiful thing and you supported me and you shined the star down on me. But there were some hard times. We had to give up everything. We moved down into Egypt because they was trying to kill you, Jesus. Went down to Bethlehem and we went down to Egypt and we finally got out of Egypt and we came back and we found out that Herod's brother had took over. So we went back into Nazareth and we raised you there and everybody called you a Nazarene. But we all knew that you was from Bethlehem. We knew you was royal seed, but we had to keep it under our hat because we didn't want you to die. That's why your concern should be my concern, Jesus, because I'm still here. I'm committed. I'm committed to you. Some of y'all wonder why your relationships with your wives and husbands don't work because you want to get something out of more than you want to put in. You want them to love you, but you don't want to love them back. You want to be concerned with what's going on with you, but you don't want to be concerned with what's going on with them. Amen? You wonder why church, why I don't understand the whole deal about the church, why they want me to come all the time, why they want me to be a part of this, why I'm going to be a part of that, because we want you to find your gift, talent, and ability where you can get on fire for God and serve Him in a capacity that will blow your mind, and guess what, you can be a blessing more than you can receive a blessing. Somebody could tell you here right now, sometimes it's better the work you do, to see smiles on people's faces, to hear a bell ring on a Sunday night is very, very worth it. And if you never get credit for it, it's fine. But praise God, it's good when you serve God. It's good when you got more into it. Amen? It's good when you got some stuff into it. You're not just saying, God, you saved me now, just try to bless me all the time. Mary said, I'm here, Jesus, I love you. But you're going to be concerned about what I'm concerned about because I never left. It would have been easy. And I know there's some tough times coming. I know there's some tough times coming with you. Because I know why you're here. You're the Savior. Yes, you're a healer, son. Yes, you're a miracle worker. Yes, you are. You can speak life. Yes, you can. But what's really going to be important is one day they're going to hoist you up on a cross and I'm going to be sitting right at your feet and there's going to be a pain inside of me that just can't be quenched. Amen? There's some mothers in here know. There's just a pain that you can't quench. Amen? I know what I'm going to go through. I know what I signed up for. I love you, son. But it's time to fly. I wonder how Mary knew that it was time to fly, because one day God showed up in her life. Hey, Mary, we need you to birth the Christ. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and He's going to put Jesus in you, and you're going to birth Him.
How does that work? Amen? Who can I consult with? Who can I talk with and ask them if it's okay? Nobody. Because nobody can relate to what's going to happen in your life. So now here she is. Jesus is 30 years old. And she's got this nudge in her. This would be a perfect time for Jesus to really show who He is at this wedding ceremony. I know who He is. You know your mom will know who you are before anybody else does. She'll think, man, He's good. She's good. I just got to get her out there and let her see it, right? Moms, don't be afraid to nudge them, amen? Y'all ready? It's time for you to fly. I'm going to give you a verse. It's going to come out of Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11. You can go with me or you can go back later. Deuteronomy 32, 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Y'all good? I'll give you that again. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Does that sound cool? That sounds cool, don't it? Till you figure out what it is. First of all, as Christians, we're raising eagles, not chickens. Amen? That's what our youth are here. What our ministry is here. We're not trying to raise chickens. We're trying to raise eagles. We want to mount up like eagles. Amen? That's where we want to get to. We don't want to be chickens. Amen? So what a mother eagle does and what she was doing, Jesus, I would love for you to stay with me in Nazareth for the rest of my life. But you know what? The world needs a Savior. So what it does, it says it stirs up her nest. You know what eagle, what she does first is she builds a nest to keep everything out. That's what you do when you're a young mom. You defend them kids. I'd rather fight a man about a kid problem than a wife over a kid problem. Amen? Because the man was use some kind of rationale. Golly. The man will be like, hey, bro, this ain't cool. The mother will be on your forehead. Don't mess with my baby! I didn't. You know what I mean? So I want you to hear this. When you're a young mom, you protect like a mama bear over them cubs. You can't have my babies. You got to come through me. Amen? That's what that eagle does. She brings sticks and big objects and builds this nest. If you ever seen an eagle's nest, it'll blow your mind. And they build that thing so big, but the outside of it looks like a defense city. It is, jagged edges pointing out, and I'm talking about each corner. And I'm telling you, when you look at it, you think, man, that's something. What it says, mom says, you ain't coming in here. Now, Dad, you go out and get me another big stick, and I'll put it together. Amen. I'll preach a whole message like that. Daddy, you go get me a stick, and you bring it back here. That means you get your tail end to work, and you bring us some stuff to build a house with. All you men got mad at me. We'll be all right. Because women, they don't care if it's a big house or a small house. They don't care if it's a one-bedroom apartment. They don't care if it's a lean-to. You let a woman say, this is where we're going to live. All right, you're going to provide. All right, good. She'll have that thing built up nice. Amen? God, never mind. I don't want to go there. She built that thing, keep all the enemy out. But when a baby turns into a grown-up, the mother changes, it stirs up her nest. She takes all the sharp edges and the jagged edges and the hard edges and she turns them in. She starts reworking the nest. Mothers and fathers, don't be scared to rework the nest. If they graduated high school, start reworking the nest. Don't make it comfortable, make it weird. Amen? Don't make it comfortable, make it weird. Well, you turn the cable off. You can have cable in it if you want to pay for it. Hey, my phone don't work. Well, you can have the phone if you pay some of the money. Oh, man, it's quiet in here now. Some of the kids right now are making notes. I hate this guy. But she, what she does is she stirs up the nest, and the nest then becomes uncomfortable. See, he used to have a lot of room, but now he's a big eagle. And that eagle, he's sitting there, and he's kind of like, man, he's a bad-looking dude. I love eagles. They're beautiful birds. But they're not meant to stay in the nest. And with all the edges and Johnny, they're all like, man, he's like, I got no room to live here. You know what? Because you're not supposed to still be there. You're supposed to be out soaring. You're supposed to be out flying. You're supposed to be out doing dangerous stuff. But instead, you want to sit and watch TV and play video games. I didn't have to say video games, but I did. And he's sitting there, oh man, Mom, hey, this stick here is sharp. Why'd you turn it in? It should be out. Because I don't want you to be here anymore. I love you, but you are an eagle. You are not a chicken. You got to fly. And then it says, you know what she does? It looks weird. She starts to flutter her wings over them. Get out. I think that's a mom-type move.
Get out of here.
Amen? Get out of the nest. Then she goes to a little bit more. She loads them up. Oh, never mind. Woo! She loads them up. Get on board, kids. Where are we going, Mom? Flight school! What does that consist of? I'm dropping you off. Hope you can fly. I've had my eye on your bedroom 4 months. I'm taking back up the needle point. I'm going to start working out in your room's a gym. It's time to fly. Amen? Y'all think I'm preaching crazy stuff, but hey, guess what? That's what's wrong with our country, because most of our good men and our young women are at home when they should be out soaring and flying and doing the stuff. Yes, it's dangerous, but it's called life. Starts dropping them off. Why? And I started thinking about why it's cool to be an eagle. Eagles don't just hang out with anybody. Eagles don't hang out in big crowds. I told you they're not chickens. Chickens hang out in big crowds and they peck around in the dirt. Amen? And they got their heads down, and most of the time they're just going, just making noise. Amen? See, eagles don't hang around with people who just sit around and talk about everything but what's good and just make noise. If you're hanging out, it's time to get up and get out of the chicken coop, people. It's time to rise up above. That's not who you were made to be. Said, Mama dropped them off the wings, but she didn't drop them off at the chicken pen. She dropped them off at altitude. Amen? Because this is where we belong. We belong up high. Eagles soar high. Guess what? Hey, Jesus, it's good. I love you being my son, but the world needs a Savior. I don't want you to be at the house working miracles. I want you out there for everybody. Son, I don't want you to stay in my basement. I want you to live on your own. I want you to get your own wife, and I want you to get your own kids, and I want you on your own job, and I want you to see that it'll make you a man and a young woman to do something for yourself. Amen? Golly. Guess what? They live in different places too. They live up on the rocks. They live up in high places. They just don't live around anybody. They just don't do anything. Amen? They just don't live down. And you know what's another cool thing about them? Is they mate in the air. Ooh, why did you have to bring that up? They mate in the air. Eagles do. I read this. This is cool. Eagles fly up about 3,000 or 30,000 feet. They fly way high, and they get together, and they mate in the air as they're descending. You know what that keeps you from doing? Mating with the wrong species. Amen? Sorry. Listen, chickens can't fly that high. So you can't hook up with a chicken if you're flying 3,000 feet above the earth and you say, hey, I don't do that. Well, I'm not coming down there to you. You got to come up here to me. Some of you Christian young people in here,
need to get some altitude about you. That way somebody can rise to where you're at instead of you descending to where they are. I want another bird. Can I say one more bird? It'd be all right. Turkeys can't fly that high either. Amen? And there are definitely, hey, I don't like a chicken. I like to eat chicken, but I don't like a chicken. And I don't like turkeys either. You know what I mean? Old turkey. You know what I mean? Makes a lot of noise, does a lot of dancing, puts on a show. Amen? But really useless, right? I don't like no turkeys either. Amen? So get up a little bit higher. You don't marry no chicken, you don't marry no turkeys. Amen? Right? But there is somebody else that can get up to altitude with you, though, and you just don't want to hook up with them either. Them is called buzzards. Amen? You notice I studied a lot about birds this week. Buzzards can get to altitude, but what's going to separate you from the buzzards is where you eat. You know, I'm preaching. Y'all just don't even know. This will hit you tomorrow about 3 o'clock. The buzzard says, hey, baby. And you say, hey, girl. Or guy, whichever your preference here. Hey, girl. Hey, guy. I'm thinking about asking you out. I'm thinking about you asking me out. You don't go to church? No, I don't go to church. So you're dining on death. Yeah, that's what I do. I dine on death. Because I don't eat spiritual food. I eat death. See, if you're eating from the world, you're eating from broken cisterns. You're drinking from broken cisterns. You're eating death. Because there's nothing in this life, in this world, that will bring you life, soul life. Amen? Salvation. It's all death. Let's go down here and we'll dine on death. We'll go to the bar, or we'll go to the club, or we'll go to my house, or we'll go here instead of going to church. I'm sorry, you're at altitude, my God. You're at altitude with me, but we are not seeing eye to eye on what we dine on. Because I need a word. Amen? I need a word. And I can't fly. We can fly at the same altitude, but we won't be able to get together. Amen? Here's the last one. See, eagles are awesome birds because they use storms to climb. Amen? They use storms to climb. What they'll do is they'll get in front of a storm and they'll let that storm pressure let them ascend, and guess what? They'll ride above a storm. Eagles are made to fly in and through and above storms. See, Mary looked at Jesus and said, you know what? I'd love to keep you around the house because you'd never let anything happen to me. But there's some other people in the world that are going to have some storms. And I need to let you fly. Because you need to fly. Jesus, you need to fly into everybody's storms and above everybody's storms and in everybody's storms. That's why I got to let you go. It's time for you to fly. And then one day, Jesus did. He got lifted up on an old rugged cross, all alone, all by himself. They pulled him up on that cross, and he hung up there like an eagle, all by himself, all alone on his worst day. You know why? Where you won't be all alone on your worst day. On your worst day, when you think there's nobody, everybody's forsaken me, everybody left me. But there's one who sticks closer than a brother, and his name's Jesus. And he'll show up in the most darkest, strangest times in your life. Maybe like the disciples one night. They were out on the sea, and it got pretty rough. And Jesus was inside praying for them and watching them. I mean, that Jesus watches you even in your storms. Jesus said, I've let them go far enough. I'm going to go down there and see them. He comes walking on the water. Water's not supposed to let you walk on it. By nature, water is a liquid, not a solid. But in this case, water got together with itself and said, since this is God, we'll do what we normally don't do. Let's hold Him up. Let's let Him walk on top of us. And these men, working all night long, trying to bail themselves out of trouble. Hallelujah, praise God. How many of you worked a lot of times trying to bail yourself out of trouble? Jesus come walking in the night on the storm and they thought it was a spirit. They were scared. Jesus scares you sometimes when He shows up, don't He? They said, well, maybe it's a ghost. And, no, maybe who is it? He said, it's me. Peter, the only one in the boat, man. He says, hey, Lord, can I come out there? I'm in a comfortable place. I'm in a comfortable place. And I think this is safe. But there's something in me that wants to get out of the comfortable place. And I want to come out there where you're at. I know your mom kicked you, got you to get out of the comfortable place one day. And Jesus has been trying to get us out of our comfortable place for a long time. Because He wants you to soar. And He wants you to be able to walk in storms, on storms, and above storms in your life. But are you going to be willing to let Him? That's the key. How do you let Jesus do that? I thought about this as I was coming to church this morning. You know, every time I come to church up here, I want to preach a message so good. That's what I say. Oh, God, I want to preach a good message. I want them to leave full. That's what I want. You know what God told in my spirit? You should want to come just to see me. You should want to just come see me at first. Then let me provide all that you need. So when you're coming to church here, when you come here, one thing, focus on Him. Say, God, I want to come there and see You. And whatever comes out of that, that'll be good. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.